your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Would you ask the Lord from your heart? That's important. This is really an active part of worship, really. Would you ask the Lord to say, Lord, would you speak to my heart tonight through the message of your word and draw me closer to you? Lord, would you speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you? Secondly, would you say, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to, filled with your spirit, controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Just before I get really into the message, I want to let you know that I have become sheriff of Wonder Junction. John gave me a sheriff badge. Guess who my deputy is? Mr. President. All right. We're going to have fun with it. Whether you like Westerns or not, we're going to have fun with it. And now here is... Well, if you're not listening to the service tonight, I'm going to take this like a javelin and throw it at you. No, I wouldn't do that. Any idea what this is? We kind of got like a sharp point on this end. On this end, we got more like a chisel type of end. Now, it is a little bit rustic, a little bit homemade here. Any idea what this might be in the Bible?
Javelin?
No, but good guess. That's a good guess. Not specifically what this is, but that's a good guess. This is, in the Bible, what's called an ox goad. Okay? Now, again, it's a little rough. It's a little bit put together. It's amazing what you do with duct tape, right? But, and a broomstick. But, don't tell anybody that, okay? But here we have a replica, let's say, of an ox goad. On one end, it has a point. Obviously, when you're working with cows, oxen, to get them to go where you want them to go, okay? On the other end, you have something that, like a chisel that's used to clean your plow off whenever it gets mud on it or something like that. Typically, this is not quite that long, but it's about 8 foot long, okay? So this is an ox goad. Now, I know that you're just wondering, what in the world and where in the world are we going with this? Judges chapter 3, verse 31. My main verse tonight is one verse, this one verse. Judges 3:31, okay? And you'll see the play or the part that this ox goad plays in this story, all right? Tonight, official title is Using What God Has Given to Us. Using What God Has Given to Us. Now, we're looking at Shamgar and the ox goad. Shamgar and the ox goad. Now, has anybody here named their child Shamgar? Okay, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'd be curious how many have ever heard the name Shamgar, okay, in the Bible. But he's very biblical. He's in the Bible. We're going to look at that. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. It says, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistine 600 men with an ox goad. And he also delivered Israel. Now, from that one verse, I'm going to build what God has for us tonight about this guy named Shamgar. Title the message, Using What God Has Given to Us. Point number one, who is this Shamgar? Who is this Shamgar? It kind of rolls off my tongue pretty good. I don't know. Boys, consider Shamgar as one of the names of your children. What do you think? Now, from what I can tell, this is like a big question mark here. Some would say meaning unknown, but one of them kind of gives the implication that Shamgar means stranger. if that be the case, it could be a guy that wasn't that well known among the children of Israel. This Shamgar was a contemporary of the fourth judge. The fourth judge in among the children of Israel and the nation of Israel was Deborah. You ever heard of Deborah? Fourth judge. She was the only woman judge. She was also with Barak. Remember, Deborah said, Barak, you go out and defeat the king of Canaan, Jabin, who is led by Sisera. Sisera, remember that? You go out, and he said, like a gentleman and a real strong, brave man, I'm not going to go unless you go with me. Remember that? And then they defeat the armies there of Canaan. But the one who actually gets the victory is Jael. Remember that? Jael took a nail. Remember that? Jael took a nail and put it through the temple of Sisera. So just to kind of put it in context, this Shamgar was a contemporary with this judge. I think I lost you somewhere, the Jael nail thing. Remember that? Sisera went and went to sleep, and she took the nail and drove it through his temple into the ground. But this Shamgar was basically a contemporary of Deborah and Barak and this Jael. Now, it says in this verse that he was the son of Anath. I'm not quite sure how to say it. Anath. I'm not sure. I'll probably say it 10 different ways whenever I pronounce it. We know nothing about Anath. Okay, zero, zilch, nothing. Some could say, well, that means he was from a certain area instead of it. But it says the son of, so his dad was Anath. We don't know much about it. Now, Shamgar, he was the third judge of Israel. Okay, the third judge. Say that with me. The third judge of Israel. The first one was Othniel. That's found in, we're not going to turn there, but in chapter 3, verses 5 to 11, Othniel is mentioned. The second judge was Ehud. That's found in verses 12 to 30 of chapter 3. And then you have this Shamgar. It says, and after him, that would be after the judgeship, if you will, of Ehud, there comes Shamgar. And after Shamgar was Deborah. Now, that's who is Shamgar. That's what we know about him. Okay? Second, what was his weapon? What was his weapon? Well, it says, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. Now, is that a typical weapon to go to warfare with? No, it's not. It's interesting that the idea of an ox goad or the use of ox goad is found in a couple other places in Scripture, in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. Now, remember when Saul was on the road to Damascus? This won't cost you anything, okay? This really isn't with the principle, but it just kind of lets you know how an ox goad was used in Scripture. In Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, Paul was on his road to Damascus to imprison Christians and bring them back to Jerusalem, perhaps for execution, okay? We got that? Remember the Lord struck him down? Remember that situation? Well, look at these verses. And he fell, that would be Paul, Saul at this point, to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, that's the Lord speaking to Saul, right? Now look at the next verse. And he said, who art thou, Lord? Now, do you think Saul basically had been figuring out, I may be on the wrong side here? He calls out to the Lord. He's struck down. It says, and the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, the idea of the pricks or goads. Okay, what is this? An ox goad. And this has got a point on it, right? So basically, you could look at that and say, what exactly is that talking about? Could be, can you continue to go against your conscience that is, and do all this against Christians because you should know better? Or it could be, can you continue to go against God? But there's the use of the idea of a goad. Another one is in Ecclesiastes 12:11. I'm just going to use this phrase, and that's about it. It says, the words of the wise are as goads. You know, that's true, isn't it? I mean, they have power with us. They're pointed, if you will. When someone wise tells us something, we should listen, if it's godly wisdom, that is. So there's a couple other uses of the idea of a goad in Scripture. But why
was he using an ox goad as a weapon?
Well, 1 Samuel chapter 13, if you want to turn there or look at the monitors, it'll be up there. 1 Samuel 13, verses 19 to 22. Now, this is very descriptive. You say, well, okay, the children of Israel, why didn't they have anything better than an ox goad? Well, here it tells us. It says, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. Now, it's not talking about the last name of Smith. That's talking about a blacksmith. Now, what does a blacksmith? Now, if you watch any Westerns, you get this. All right. Bright. Macho guys. Yeah, we know what we're talking about here. Blacksmith deals with iron, right, and steel and all that, and makes horseshoes in the Western, different things for the wagon, the different metal clasps and different things that they use. I don't know all the exact terms, but deals in things like that, right, in the metals. It says, now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. Why? For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. So the Philistines were oppressing the children of Israel and said, no, you can't have a blacksmith. You can't work in metal because you'll make swords, you'll make weapons. But notice it says, all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, plowshare, and his coulter, I understand it's like a sickle, and his ox, and his mattock. Next verse, it says, yet they had a file for the mattocks and for the coulters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goads. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. So basically the Philistines, who were oppressing the nation of Israel at this point, wouldn't let them have any blacksmiths. Now, that sounds like they did have a file maybe for minor repairs, but they could not make their own weapons. So, old Shamgar, he didn't have a sword. He didn't have a knife, but he did have an ox goad. So he used what he had, right? In this case, he used it for the Lord. Now, who is this Shamgar we talked about? Second, what was his weapon? It was an ox goad. Third, what was the condition in Shamgar's day? What was the condition of the nation of Israel? Now, do y'all remember the cycle of the judges? If you don't, it'd be a good thing to commit to memory. It's pretty simple. And we can have the same thing happen in our lives if we're not careful. The children of Israel, what did they do? Well, they would sin and rebel against God. Remember that? They're like, God who? I'm not going to serve that God. No, I'm going to serve false gods. I'm going to do my own thing. Some people do that today, right? So what did God do? God allowed the oppression of his people. God usually allowed like the Philistines or the Canaanites or the Moabites, somebody to come and oppress them for a certain period of time. And then the children of Israel got, oh me, oh my God, we need some help down here. What did God do? God sent a deliverer or a judge. And the judge defeated the enemy and they had rest for a while and everything was going good. The children of Israel were serving God. But then what happened? They rebelled against God again. And the cycle starts all over. So they were in that cycle. And that's why God used the judges. Everybody got that? Say, uh-huh. Say, uh-huh. Okay, I didn't hear one single uh-huh. I'm like, uh-oh, boy. Let me back up here. Ox goad. Now, that's an ox goad. Okay, the cycle of the judges. Judges chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Judges chapter 5 is just a couple chapters over. Judges chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. We're looking at number 3. What was the condition in Shamgar's day? Okay. Now, we had this cycle. And so God raised up Shamgar to deliver these people from the Philistines. Okay. Everybody still with me? Okay. Judges 5, 6, and 7. This is the Song of Deborah, if you have a heading there. After Deborah, remember the next judge? Notice she recollects in the days of Shamgar what was going on. Okay, remember they were contemporary, so they lived at the same time. At least they overlapped in their life some. It says, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, that's the one who drove the nail through through the head of Sisera, the king of, or excuse me, the commander of the forces of Canaan. It says, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied. So in Shamgar's day, the highways were unoccupied. Why? Because it was too dangerous. They were being oppressed. So to openly, I don't know, maybe the way drivers are today, maybe we should abandon the highways too. And instead of going on the highways, it says they were unoccupied and the travelers walked through byways. They found other ways to get around because it was so dangerous because the children of Israel were being oppressed. Make sense? So that's what stuff was going on in the time of Shamgar, according to Deborah's song. It says in verse 7, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel. So it was even dangerous to live in these little villages, these little outposts, so to speak, because the Philistines would come in and plunder and do things against the enemies of Israel would come in and destroy these villages and take their... It was dangerous, a dangerous place to live. Everybody with me on that? And it says later on that verse, until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. So God raised up Deborah to at least put that down for a while. So what was the condition in Shamgar's day? We're in the cycle of the judges, okay? Rebellion, and then God would allow oppression, and then they'd come to their senses, they'd call out to God and say, God, help us. God would deliver them through a judge. Everything would be good for a little while, and then they'd go back rebelling against God, and they'd get in that cycle. So, that's where we are. It was too dangerous to even use the highway, so they used the byways. There was no inhabitants of the villages because it was too dangerous to live there because the oppressors of the children of Israel. Who is this Shamgar we looked at? Number two, what was his weapon? It was an ox goad. Number three, what was the condition in Shamgar's day? Number four, what did Shamgar do? What did Shamgar do? It says in verse 31, let's go back to chapter 3, verse 31. It says, and after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistine 600 men with an ox goad. And it says, and he also delivered Israel. So Shamgar did what God wanted him to do. And he used this ox goad. And guess what? He didn't kill two Philistines. He didn't kill five Philistines. He didn't kill... Shh, Larry. I'm just kidding. You're right. 600. 600 of them. Now, something I was reading said, it's not likely that he did it all at once. That was probably a tabulation, you know, of all the... either way... God used this ox goad that he had given to Shamgar. He used Shamgar to use it to at least overthrow to a degree the power of the Philistines. So God could have, it could have happened all at once. I mean, it's possible, don't you think? Because we serve an awful big God. I don't know, I think I'm going to practice with this thing and see how this thing works and maybe I could get really good at it. But obviously with God's power, he used it for good. So what did he do? He killed 600 Philistines. Basically, he was the deliverer as the judge. The Philistines backed off, and they had some rest there for a while because Shamgar used what God had given him, the ox goad, to defeat the Philistines. Everybody with me on that? There's another phrase at the end of that verse. If you're not careful, you'll miss it. It'll be a miracle if I don't cut myself before the night is over with that thing. Okay, it says in verse 31, and he also delivered Israel. So it wasn't just a matter of defeating 600 Philistines. It was also a matter of delivering Israel. In other words, he accomplished God's will by using what God had given to him, and he delivered the children of Israel. That's pretty big. So far we've looked at who is this Shamgar. Don't know a lot about him, but he was the third judge of Israel. What was his weapon? An ox goad. What was the condition in Shamgar's day? Not good, not good, not good at all. He used an ox goad because they wouldn't let him have a blacksmith and real weapons, so he used what he had. It was a bad time for Israel. It was dangerous to go, even take the highways. They took the byways instead. Even the villages were occupied. What did he do, though? He slew the Philistines, 600 of them, and he delivered Israel, or accomplished God's will. Now, here's the big part. You ready? You sure you're ready? I don't think you're ready. If you're ready, give me an amen. Okay, that's pretty good. Number five, what can we learn from Shamgar and his story? You know, everything is included in Scripture for a reason. And granted, we don't have a whole lot of detail about this, but we have enough to figure out what's going on, right? But what can we learn from Shamgar and his story? I have four things written down here. I'm going to put them all together in the way of application, then I'm going to give you some possible ways that we can put it into our life, okay? What can we learn from Shamgar and his story? Number one, God can use unlikely people like Shamgar. Now, again, I threw it out there. It's just a possibility that his name means stranger. So, you know, we aren't given a whole lot about him, so he may not have been too impressive. He knew how to use an ox goad, though, with God's power, but he was surrendered to what God wanted him to do, right? So I'd say it's safe to say that he was probably an unlikely judge, perhaps. But God can use unlikely people like Shamgar. You know, the Bible even talks about basically that God uses the foolish things of this world and the lowly things of this world. Why is that? To confound the wise? Because if the wise people come and say, boy, and people say, wow, look how wise he is. But when something happens, when someone who is lowly like us accomplishes something great for God, they don't look at the person, they say, wow. God can use unlikely people like Shamgar. That's pretty big, because I'm an unlikely person. Are you an unlikely person? Second, God can use what we have. God can use what we have. Shamgar used an ox goad, okay? He couldn't use a sword. He couldn't use his 30-30. He couldn't use his bow and arrow. He used what God gave him to use, all right? So, how can we apply this? God can use unlikely people like Shamgar. Number two, God can use what we have. Shamgar used an ox goad. Third, God has a will that needs to be accomplished. You all agree with that? You know, God has a will for your life. If you don't remember anything I've ever said since I've been your pastor for almost 7 years, remember that God has a plan for your life. That's big. God has a plan for your family. God has a plan for the baby in Brittany's womb right now. God has a plan for their family. God has a plan for Oakmount. You see, it's important. God has an overall plan. We've been talking about the rapture on Sunday morning. So God has a big plan involving all of God's people. God has a plan for the church. God has a plan for our family. God has a plan for us as individuals. God has a will that needs to be accomplished. You know, God can do whatever he wants to do, but he's chosen not. Now, he sent Jesus down here for 33 years, right? In the flesh. But he's not here in the flesh anymore. And God, even though it'd be kind of cool when I have my quiet time, God doesn't come and sit on the stool next to me. I'm like, hey, God, how's things going? Now, I'm not treating him lightly because I'm to respect him and look to him as my heavenly father, but he doesn't do that, right? Guess who he's left here to do it? God has a will that needs to be accomplished. And number four, God can do big things. If you doubt that God can do big things, you're just not paying attention. You're just not paying attention. If you don't know anything more, if you're a Christian, if you don't know anything more than he's letting you go to heaven, that's a big thing, because he has forgiven your sins because of Jesus, what he did on the cross, paying the sin debt. And we look around and we see all kind of things. It's like, how did that happen? You know, and we say, God's big. You know, how do ministries get started? How do churches grow? How you know, on and on and on. It's God. God is a big God, and he can do big things. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, if God is in it, how can man stop what God is in? What can we learn from Shamgar and his story? Number one, God can use unlikely people like Shamgar. Number two, God can use what we have like an ox goad. God has a will that needs to be accomplished. Number four, God can do big things. Now, I've kind of put it together, all together in one statement. Y'all ready for this? You sure you're ready? God can use unlikely people who are willing to use what they have been given to accomplish big things in God's will. I'm going to say that whole thing again. Write this down, Tim, would you? God can use unlikely people who are willing to use what they have been given to accomplish big things in God's will. Now, let me ask you a question. That's a picture of Shamgar, don't you think? But what about us? You know, what have you been given? Now, if we're not careful, we'll just say, oh yeah, preacher, amen, move on. But let me ask you some questions, and you start thinking about these. And this is not an exhaustive list, but what have you been given by God? Maybe you've been given a gift to work with kids. You love working with kids. Maybe God has given you an overabundant commitment to prayer. Maybe God has given to you an ability to teach and to make something understandable and very applicable. Maybe you have a knack of encouraging people. Maybe you have a talent to sing or to play an instrument. Maybe you have the ability to tell stories. You ever been around people who can tell good stories? I just don't feel like I can tell a very good story, but some people, they're really good at it. You're like, you sit there and you're listening like, wow. And like, God didn't really give me that. I'm not a very good storyteller, but some people have that ability. What about love for the elderly? That's pretty appropriate on a day like today, right? What if God, has God given you a love for the elderly? You just like being around them? You like to encourage them? Maybe God has given to you a gift to organize and coordinate. Maybe God, I mean, when I say this, sometimes people come to mind, and Marcia comes to mind, and she's such a blessing to coordinate our meals and things like that. But maybe God has given to you the gift to organize and coordinate, even not necessarily in meals, but in other areas. You just have that knack or that ability. Maybe you have a leadership ability. Maybe you have a concise way of putting things. You know, rather than beating it down, I think it was a report. I probably shared this with you because it definitely left an impression for me. You know, as an engineer, I had a lot of labs, and so I had to do lab reports. And so I remember one time after my lab report, and I'm not sure if this was in physics or whether this was, I'm trying to think, the guy, I can almost picture who my professor was I believe it was at West Virginia Tech. After I put in this report, I guess I thought it was pretty good. He made the note. He said, rather than go around the tree, why don't you just cut the tree down? That stuck with me like, yeah, it makes sense. In other words, but some people have the ability to say things very concisely. Maybe you have a knack for decorating. Maybe you have an enjoyment of crafts. Maybe you have the gift of hospitality. You just love that host role. Maybe you have a dogmatic determination. Maybe you have an artistic ability. Maybe a woodworking talent. Hey, Sonny. Maybe you have mechanical ability. You can fix about anything, and you like working with your hands, and you don't mind it. Your fingers get greasy. Now, the list could go on and on, but what have you been given from the Lord? Now, can I tell you that you've not been given those abilities or those talents or that love of these certain things to use it for yourself? Now, if you're a child of God, you say, I know Jesus as my Savior. I know I'm on my... God has given you that to use for Him. Perhaps what you've been given seems small or insignificant. Now here I'm going to be very dogmatic, but I know that if you're willing to use what God has given to you, He can accomplish big things through what God has given you. I'm reminded of that song, little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown, a reward, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. So you can take what little, you may view it as little, other people may view it as big, and God says it's all right, it's what I gave to you. You can take that, and you can use that, and little is much, and God can accomplish big things through you if you're willing to use that for the Lord. You know, I really think sometimes God doesn't expect you to, you say, you know, you may say, you know what, I this phase of my life, now you understand this, I don't like being around kids. They get on my nerves, you might say. Well, it's probably not a good idea that you start working in junior church. That's probably not a good thing. But that's all right. God has made us different. God has given us things to use for His glory. Now it's up to us to say, you know what, Lord? I will use that for God. And it really shouldn't. If you get in the place, in the niche where you're supposed to get, it shouldn't be a struggle. It shouldn't be a drudgery. It should be, now I'm not saying anything can become a drudgery if you're overloaded. I get that. But I'm saying, if God has given you something, a gift, an ability, a love for something, when you put that into use in the kingdom of God, it ought not be like pulling teeth. It ought not be a drudgery. It ought not be, I can't believe I'm doing this again. It ought to be a joy. Do you see? Because God has, I really believe that everybody in Oakmount, everybody that's taken that step of faith to join this church, I believe that God has a plan and a place for you to serve in this church. And you might say, well, I like driving. Doesn't bother me at all. Well, Larry drives our church van. You say, well, I like the elderly. Well, plug into our nursing home ministry. Maybe come up with some other way to minister to our shut-ins. You say, I just like kids. Well, we got all kind of kid stuff going on. And I'd still like to see us expand our ministry in the kids area. I'd like to see expand. You say, I like teenagers. I don't understand them, but I like them. Well, that's good. I'd like to see us have a youth group. And God puts people in churches like that. And you say, that's what I like to do. And God says, ding, 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 ding. And then says, we'll do it. See, God's a big God. Y'all figured that out yet? He can coordinate and all that. So for the Christian tonight, really simple message. Are you willing to use what God has given you for the Lord? Are you willing to use what God has given you for the Lord? Because you can have all of these abilities and His giftedness, and I often say, I think the ability that God is most concerned with is your availability. Because you can be great. I mean, you could be a dynamic speaker that can preach circles around anybody in these parts, but if you're not willing to use it, you know, willing to use what God has given you for the Lord. God can use unlikely people like you and I who are willing to use what God has given to us to accomplish big things in God's will. Now, you say big things. You mean preacher? You mean Fox News is going to be here talking about how big that ministry is? No. But what the world views as big is not the same as what God views as big. I don't want to give you the wrong impression. Again, are you willing to use what God has given to you in the service of the Lord? I'm going to have a real specific invitation tonight. If you are willing to use what God has given to you. You see that guy Shamgar? He used an ox goad. You say, that's not much. Well, he killed 600 Philistines, and that's really not the point. The point is, he accomplished God's will by using what he had been given. You can help accomplish the will of God if you're willing to use what God has given to you. That's big. That's big. Can I say that there's a lot of Christians who are not willing to do that? I mean, you'd think, like, oh, preacher, duh. Of course, I'm a child of God. Well, you get it, but I'm telling you, some people don't get it. They use what God has given to them, and they make oodles of money. Or they get promoted, or they have a huge house or a truck by using the gift. God never intended. It ought to be used through the local church. I'm a big local church guy. You will not find a preacher that's more pro-church, pro-local church. But are you willing? We're going to sing. Christian, I want you to think about that. Remember Shamgar, that is, and the ox goad. Think about that. Are you willing to use whatever God has given to you in the service of the Lord? Now, I know some of you are using it now, but I'm going to encourage you. If you're still willing, there may be more opportunities. I'm encouraging you. You say, preacher, I've committed that to the Lord. I'm willing and I'm using it. And praise the Lord. But if you have that attitude that you're willing to continue to use it and use it whatever area God may call you to, I'm going to have you come to the altar, if you will. I'm going to get out of your way. I just want you to come to the altar and say, Lord, what you've given to me, I'm willing to use for you, if you're willing to do that. Would you stand to your feet, please? And bow your head. Close your eyes. I'm going to ask Amy if she would to just play through a song tonight, like we did this morning. Is every head bowed and every eye is closed. Whenever she starts to play, I'm going to encourage you here in just a moment. If you're willing to give what God has given to you back to the Lord, say, Lord, here I am. Use it for your glory. I'm going to ask you just to come to the altar and tell God that. Would you do that? But if there's anyone here tonight lost or anybody listening in, let me encourage you. What you need to do tonight is trust Jesus as your Savior. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Quit putting it off. The best decision you can ever make. Go before the Lord. You might be at your favorite recliner at home. You can go right now to the Lord and mean it from your heart and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus was your Son who died on the cross to pay for my sins. Resurrected back to life, I now confess Jesus as my Savior. And if you mean that from your heart, you can be saved right where you're at. I'd encourage you to call out to the Lord in prayer to do that. But tonight, I'm talking to Christians. If you're willing to use what, and I don't want you to do it because someone else is moving out. I want you to do it because that's your heart's desire. Lord, I will use whatever you have given